among your children, knowing your presence is here with us, having the promise of your Holy Spirit. I expect fully, Lord God, for you to minister, if you haven't done so already, to the hearts and lives of those present. I ask that you help me communicate those things that you want me to communicate, Lord, that my agenda is your agenda, that we expect fully, Lord, as it says in Isaiah 55, for your thoughts to be our thoughts and your words to be our words, for them to come down, Lord God, and seed our hearts and seed our lives, Lord God, and that you'll bring somebody else across, Lord God, to water it, but we're expecting fully for your increase, and we're expecting fully, Lord God, it will accomplish what you have sent it forth to do, and it will not return to you void. So we thank you ahead of time, Lord, for the fulfillment of your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks ago at a Thursday class, I shared something which we will be looking at more in the future, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of a preface to it. I am going to once again give a wrap-up of this prophecy teaching that I've been doing. But the thought came to me, how many of you ever heard of the term word of faith, or the positive confession, or, they're part of the full gospel movement. And there's such an emphasis, I would say, on faith. Would you not agree? And there's so many teachings and studies that have been done on faith. And as I went back to the cornerstone scripture that a lot of those organizations use is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. If any of you have been around in the full gospel movement, or you've been charismatic or filled with the Holy Spirit, you've heard this scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it has sprung up all kinds of ministries all over this world, faith ministries. But the question is that as I was studying, that I really believe that the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, should we be studying faith? Should we be really looking at the subject of faith, or that which brings the faith? Okay, so, then I was just like, whoa, wait a second here. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So what's the main emphasis? The word of God. And so the Lord, remember that Jesus and his word are one. Jesus was the word made flesh. So we have to have an understanding that there's something that even remember what Jesus said in John 17:3. This is eternal life. Can you put that verse up there, please? John 17:3. And he told us what eternal life was. And this is eternal life, that they might know you. Remember, this is a prayer that he's praying to the Father at this time, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So if our focus is on the Father, and if our focus is on the Son, and if our focus is on the Word of God, the natural result will be faith in God will arise with inside your heart. And so when we realize that if our focus is Jesus, our focus is what the Word of God has to say, then the natural byproduct of us getting to know God will be an elevated or an exceeding growing faith in God. And so we're going to be looking in the future. I'd like to look at this word, as it says there in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and how this word hearing is used in Scripture. Most of you may not know that at one place the word hearing or the word hear is used, the word is fame. The fame of him spread throughout the entire region. And it's really not the word fame at all. It's what comes as the result of hearing something that gathers people's attention, that they hear something about Jesus, because it says the fame of him or the fame of Jesus spread throughout the entire region. So it was the hearing of Jesus that spread throughout the entire region that brought all these people to come. So that's just a little taste of something that I want to look at in the future. And I really believe that as I was finishing up this prophecy teaching from Daniel 11, Daniel 12, looking at Israel, the history of Israel, the timeline of Israel, us look, taking some time and looking at what Jesus had to say of what things will befall the latter days, the wars and rumors of wars and the natural disasters. You know, last night on the world news, they say that the disasters, the natural disasters that are happening in the United States are ever increasing. This was a news commentator last night. And he said, they're getting worse and worse. They're just, you know, keep happening. What we have to be careful of when we're studying prophecy and we're studying the Word of God, that we don't get so focused on the signs of the times as what we need to be doing when these signs are taking place. You see, there's a big difference. And whole movements, I'm not speaking any against these prophecy teachers, but that we have people that God uses to read the headlines and to look at all these things, and they keep us abreast of what's going on. But we can't forget the mission. We can't forget that while these things are taking place, what we need to be actively engaged in, what we need to be a part of. When he talks about wars and rumors of wars, when he talks about ethnic group coming against ethnic group, when he talks about the famines and pestilence and all these things that we see happening, Jesus said it's like a pregnant woman, and we're going to see more and more and more and more. He said that's just the way it's going to be. I see, I've told you these things beforehand is what he said. So why did he say, I told you these things beforehand? When you see all these things happening, what does it say? What's in Luke 21 we looked at? Lift up your eyes. Your redemption is drawing near. So where should the focus be? The focus should always be on Jesus. The side things are taking place. It's just showing us, like the ruler I had here, how far down are we on God's prophetic timetable? And I had that 4-foot ruler that I brought out here, and I put it like right there at the end. That's where we're at. But we need to be actively involved. What we need to be actively involved with. So let's look. I'm going to share just a little bit on my last message I did. I put it online. I didn't teach it here live. I came in and did a 2-hour teaching and then put it on the internet. But I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want us to look at a few things that the Apostle Paul told his son in the faith. Paul knows numbered. History or tradition says that he had his head cut off. But he knew that his time was, he knew that he had accomplished everything that Jesus wanted him to accomplish. He knew that one of the final things that the Holy Spirit said, and even Jesus said, and even an angel told him, that he'd go to Rome and he'd have to appear before Caesar. And he has done everything that he was told that his life would accomplish. And he knows now that he's at his final, whether it be weeks or months, here on this planet. And he's wanting to make sure that his son in the faith is left with some instructions that he will always have with him, which is Timothy, one of his sons in the faith. Here is Timothy, that he always wanted him to have some kind of instruction left with him to know that when you see these things happening, when these things start escalating, matter of fact, if you take the whole chapter 3, what he talks about in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, times of great stress. It almost seems like there's just not stress on people. It seems like there's stress on the world itself. It seems like the world itself is experiencing stress, birth pangs, as Jesus said. And he goes on and says that this is what it will be. But he is also telling him in verse 10, he's also letting him know, you know the life that I lived before you. When there is an apostle Paul and there is a son in the faith, Timothy, Timothy is going to have to come into the place of or be in the shoes that Paul was in. And eventually, Timothy is going to have his own Timothy. He's going to have his own people that he's going to be mentoring and putting the Word of God in, because there's going to come a day when Timothy's life is going to end and everything has to keep going, and everything has been kept going. We're here today because of faithful people that have taken the message all throughout the centuries, and we've heard the truth and we're being discipled in the Word of God just like they are, and we are here today. But we have to make sure it doesn't stop with us, though. We have to be passing on what we ourselves are giving. But at the same time, not just passing on the truth, exampling that truth. We're to example the truth. And so Paul tells Timothy here, he says, you know everything about me, Timothy. And let's start here with verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. You know what I've taught. You know what I stood for. You know all the teachings that I have given out. You know how I've lived, the manner of life. You know what I live for, my purpose. You know my faith, what I have put my everything in. You know what I believe. You know how I've trusted God. You know the things I've also experienced, my long suffering. And you know how I did it in love, perseverance, and had a consistency. You also knew my persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But I just love this so much. He just doesn't leave it there. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. God is wanting you, God is wanting me to be patterns like this. God is wanting us to have that same life example that Paul himself had for our lives to be patterning. He just doesn't want us to have a word to communicate. He wants that word to be modeled. He wants us to be modeling this. When you read these things, well, that was Paul. And he just was a person that said yes to Jesus when Jesus came. Are we a people that's ready to say yes to Jesus? Did he not say when he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, be followers of God or be imitators of God as dear children? Did he not also tell us that we could do the same thing? Did he not tell his son in the faith to be an example in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Let's just read real briefly here what he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We looked at this a few weeks ago, and I just want you to hear it again. Of course, you know that he was in ministry. He had hands laid on him in ministry. In verse 12, it says, let no one despise your youth. So he was a young person in ministry. He says, let no one despise your youth. This is 1 Timothy 4:12. But be an example. Be an example to the believers. How many of you know it needs to work in the house before it works out of the house? It needs to work in the family of God before it works outside the family of God. As you get to know people here, as you become friends with people in the body of Christ, or whatever church gathering, whatever home fellowship you might be, or you get together with people that say they're Christians, you really begin to know who they are. You really begin to see, you know, when nobody else is around, the hair is down, and whoa. Hopefully it's a whoa instead of ooh, right? And so he tells them to be an example. He tells them to be an example to the believers in word. How many of us need to watch our words a little bit more? Conduct, speaking of behavior, the way that you live, in love. I just love 1 Corinthians 13. Most of you know I had it on my mirror in my bathroom, the King James Version and the Amplified Version for a long time. I want to say years it was taped up there. And I'd get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is who you are in me. This is what you said that the Holy Spirit dispensed throughout my whole being according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that your love was dispensed or shed abroad throughout my entire being, and this is the disposition that I live from. See, we can take the Word of God and say those things because since God's love has been placed within us, this is should be the fruit of the Spirit within our life, should it not be? Hello? Okay? And so we see here that we should be exampling God's love. We should have the right spirit about things. We should be a people that our faith, what we believe and how we believe in our trust in God should be the very expression of our lives. And so he's telling him and all these things in purity. I've got written here right beside it, you know, right beside purity is uprightness or holiness. Now that's not, you know, that's not a word you hear a lot anymore in church. You know, Peter, he said in his epistle, in his letter, he said, be holy as God is holy. And you're just like, what? Be holy like God is holy? I mean, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? And so sometimes we read it and we just kind of like, yeah, but that can't mean me. Well, he wouldn't have written it if there wasn't an ability that we have as a new creation in Christ Jesus, the very nature and the very character of God dwelling within us, that we can develop ourselves, renew our mind, be transformed in the way that we think and transform the way that we view life, that more and more and more that we are modeling the life that Jesus Christ himself would live if he was living within us. And he is living within us. See, don't look at it as an impossibility. Look at it as, this is what the Word of God says, and my life, by faith, seeks to fulfill this truth. Quit damning yourself. Quit doubting yourself. In other words, doubting what God's Word has to say. Embrace what God's Word has to say. Amen? See, I have read it enough, and I read it enough, and I read all the correlating scriptures that go with it, because I know that eventually, just the same way that I got saved and the same way you got saved, okay, let me ask you this question, since I earlier talked about Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How did you get saved? By hearing a teaching on faith or hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and faith came. Okay? There's a supernatural element of God that occurs when the Word of God is given out the way that he wants it given, that he actually also supplies the faith for us to believe him in. Isn't that exciting? It's like he provides us, he gives us the Word, and he says, I'm also going to give you the faith so you can possess to believe in what's being said. That's just like mind-blowing. We weren't there 2,000 years ago. We didn't see Jesus hang on a cross. We're reading accounts of it in the Gospels. We're reading what the revelation that Paul received. We're reading these things. We're reading what it says in the book of Acts. We're reading all these wonderful things, but there's a miracle that takes place as we're reading. There's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit is able just to begin speaking within us. It says he brings his conviction. It says he will convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Of sin, because they believe not in me. So he brings a conviction in us about when the Word of God says something, here's where you're not believing me in, here's where you need to be believing me in. And this is what he'll do for us. Don't ever negate the power and the presence of Holy Spirit. He is here even right now. Convicting us, wooing us, drawing us, if need be, spanking us. He's good. We sing that song, he's a good, good father. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, what good father doesn't discipline their children when they need it? Father, you know how to discipline us. Now, having said that, some of you were disciplined improperly growing up. God does not discipline improperly. He disciplines properly. And when you look up that word and you go back in the Old Testament, it talks about the rod of correction. And most of us think, as my dad says, go outside to that tree and bring me in a stick. And I'd bring in the smallest twig I could. I'm not realizing if I brought in a green one, that thing really stung. You know? or he'd say, no, that's not big enough. You know, you bring in something like this, you know. Go out and get another one. Oh my gosh. Let me get a huge one. Then, like, you know, maybe they go. But when we look up the rod of correction, the very first thing that it talks about, that rod of correction, is the speaking of teaching. It is to bring correction by word of mouth. Is to see if that situation within that child or within our lives can be corrected in us by way of teaching us or instructing us. This is what you did wrong, and this is the right way to do it, and given us the choice of what we're going to do next. See, God loves us. He wants us to be schooled or trained in the right way. And sometimes we have to unlearn certain things, or when we read about something in the Bible and we have a wrong history or a wrong way that's done, we interpret the Word of God through our past experience, and we've got to learn to interpret it the way Father God would have us to understand it. So if we have bad experiences, we try to correlate God like that. Oh, that's what he's going to do to me. And God, how many of you would have to say that you had to unlearn a lot of stuff? Okay? And there's a right way that God knows how to do things. Amen? And so he tells, going back here to 1 Timothy chapter 4, he tells him to be an example to the believers. And you might say, well, why not the unbelievers? Because we hang out more with believers than we do unbelievers. You see, like I said earlier, those that, especially if you're married, husbands and wives, my wife knows me and I know her. There's nothing we hide. It doesn't matter if you put a Jesus smile on this morning, come walking into her, hey, praise God, brother, sister. And you weren't that way just 10 minutes before. I used to be like that. Christine, you little hypocrite. We'd be driving to church. We'd have this argument. Now, this is before I was a pastor. Okay, we're going back one, two, three decades plus. But see, I was messed up. Most of you know how messed up I was. But I knew I had to get in the place of fellowship with the body of Christ. I had to get in the place where the Word of God was being taught because I needed the washing of the water of the Word. I needed fellowship with brothers and sisters, even though that I was a mess, even though that I was a wreck. And so if I needed to put on that Jesus smile, and at first it was fake, you know, coming in, I would sit there and sit underneath the Word of God. The Word of God says it will wash me, it will clean me. The Holy Spirit's going to do something within my life so I don't have to be a messed up individual anymore. God will do what His Word says He will do. And I used to tell my wife, I said, just be patient, just be patient. God is going to change me. I remember when I used to tell her, I said, honey, please forgive me. I had such an anger issues. And how many of us know we can do a lot of damage with our words? A lot of damage with our words. And I remember there was a point in time, Christine says, you have wore out your I'm sorry. I want to see change. You keep saying I'm sorry, if repeated, repeated. Where's the change? Where's the transformation? And I was like, okay, Lord God, we need to step this up here. You need to help me with this change transformation. And He did. He did. And He restored our marriage. Can you imagine what it takes? 7 years, honey? 7 years? Ooh. Ouch. Why do I keep, maybe seven I like because it's the number of perfection or completion instead of law. No. Do you know that there was a point in time that we had to start dating again? I couldn't even, she wouldn't even hold my hand. She just, you know, like let's say we're sitting in church and I'd put my hand on her leg or put my arm around her. You know, looking at her like, what's the matter with your shoulder? You know, it's not like she had a twitch or something, you know. And I'd go to grab her hand. Let's say we were going to go somewhere. And I want to hold her hand. That thing was just pulled right from me. Had to court all over again. Had to date all over again. But see, the cool thing was, there was a side of me that every now and then she'd get a glimpse of, and she would make a comment, what you just did is not the Mark Smith that I married. There was something that she saw in me, a God. See, we were both saved before we got married, but I was messed up and she was messed up. And there was a God quality that would every now and then would like, you know, really shine and go away. And she grabbed hold of that. She grabbed hold of that. And she's like, okay, all right. And she just made sure she grabbed hold of that. And so we had to start up after being married all that time to start once again dating, treating each other the way that we needed to be treated, and developing that close intimacy. And after 40 years now, it's just, you know, it's beautiful. Not after 40 years. Now that it's been 40 years, over 40 years, it's been beautiful. Because God does that. God's in the restoration business. So when Timothy is talking about being an example to the believers, the greatest example that we can be is to one another in our house. Or the ones that we have, the groups that we have that we hang out with. When we hang out with certain people in Christianity, how is it you're known by them? How is it you're known? When you're not there, like, man, they call themselves a Christian. You said that. Is that, are any comments like that ever to be made about us? And if so, that needs to change. Because, see, we're always, I mean, I like that term Christ-likeness. We're always becoming more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Not saying that we're not going to mess up, but our desire here is what Paul told Timothy, because in order to be a Paul, you first have to be a Timothy. And Paul is telling Timothy, you're a young leader now, and as a young leader, you have certain responsibilities as a young leader. And as a young leader, just because you're young, don't let anybody try to cut you down in your leadership position, but when you're in that leadership position and you know you've been called to it, be an example. Be an example of Jesus and how you speak and how you conduct your life and your temperament. Everything about you should just be what? Squeezing Jesus. Amen? And we can be like that because he said, you saw my life. And so let's go back to chapter 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3. He says, you know everything about me. And you know what's cool about that is we can't really hide anything from each other. Eventually, push comes to shove. We're going to see. And we're going to see the good, and we're going to see the not so good. We're going to see the areas that we are like super Christian. And we're going to see the areas that's more like the devil. Yeah, some of us got some areas that are like the devil. How many of you are 100% renewed in your mind? Okay, I'm waiting, okay. By faith, how about by faith? I say, okay, good. Okay. No, I don't want to leave you on a drag note there, but... but in verse 10 of I love Jesus so much. I love Jesus so much. And when I see what he says there, you have followed my doctrine, what I teach, how I live, my manner of life, my purpose, what I live for. You know where my faith is, my trust and reliance. You know the type of long suffering, the love, the perseverance, and the persecutions and the afflictions. And he says the place that they happened to him and how God was always so faithful and delivered him. Now look at verse 12 and 13 here. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly. Look at that. You know, I love that. All who will live godly, it says in the King James Version, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Okay. Suffer persecution or be exposed to persecution. How many of you have ever been exposed to any type of persecution? I mean, just people mocking you, making fun of you, as a Christian, as a believer. It says that our godly life, just by us being godly, walking with Jesus, living for Jesus, we're going to experience opposition. It could be physical opposition, it could be spiritual opposition, but look at that third word, all. How's your all doing today? Okay? I don't purposely live in such a way, I want to be persecuted for Jesus. I want to be beat up for Jesus. We had this one young man come in, he's now in the army. He was just a young believer. And I remember him coming in and he's like, I'm going to go out and be persecuted for Jesus today because of this verse. Because everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to experience persecution. He actually went out to witness to people. And when somebody, as he was witnessing to somebody, matter of fact, it was right here at one of the hotels here on US 19. As he was witnessing to somebody, he kept doing it when the guy said, shut up. He goes, oh no, I'm going to keep doing it. And he kept witnessing, guy said, you need to shut up right now. You're really getting me mad. He goes, well, if you feel like you need to hit me, go ahead. And man, I tell you what, the guy just laid into him. He came in with a black eye and a bloody lip and, oh, I got persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. I was like, can I teach you some things, please? And so I sat down and began teaching him what the Word of God has to say. You don't go out looking for it. You don't go out and say, oh, I want to be the punching bag for Jesus today. It's just a natural development of your life that at times you're going to become against. Yes, and at times you may be hit. And at times you may have a Saul in your life before he became Paul and even persecute a person unto death. But he says that as a result of following Jesus, it's like there's a huge target on our lives. The devil hates us. The God of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world hates us. And he will try to bring whatever he can, whether it be persecution or the next verse. Two things that he'll try to do. What does the next verse say? Verse 13. And evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, there's so many infiltrations of such of false doctrines now, of twisted doctrines that are entering into the body of Christ, and people think that that's a new revelation or a new mystery that's been revealed or some special thing that people are getting that nobody else is getting, or they're taking the scriptures and twisting it. So whether it comes from the outside against your godly life in Christ Jesus, or the enemy that's trying to join the church to get inside of us, to get us off track. Either way, he's going to try to bring an outside pressure or an inside pressure to somehow get us off track. And so Paul wanted to make sure that before he departed, he gave his son of the faith instructions that he was to be focused in on. Yeah, these things are going to be happening, but that's not your focus. Your focus isn't the persecutions. Your focus isn't the evil men and imposters. This is what your focus is going to be. And the focus was to be the scriptures. The focus was to be the Word of God. The focus was, you know that truth. You're going to be able to endure anything because Paul said his persecutions, remember that one? He says, out of the Lord delivered, from them all the Lord delivered me? That was a quote from Psalm 34, verse 19. He knew the promises of God, and he knew that as long as I'm here and I've got a task to fulfill, God's going to set me free from whatever it is I'm facing because I've got a job to do. And he knew he had a job to do. He knew he had a job to fulfill until this last one. Until this last one. I'm done. So his body could be touched. He could be put to death because he was done. You have to get to a place in your walk with God. You are invincible until you're done. And no matter what it is that happened, no matter what it is that has faced your life, you're not going anywhere because you have a plan and you have a purpose that God wants you to accomplish. The problem is a lot of people don't know the plan and purpose that God has for them. They don't know what they're supposed to be fulfilling. They don't know what part of this wonderful thing that I'm supposed to be involved in. So what I try to let people know is go with what's already been said. Go with what's already been revealed, the plain understanding of Scripture. Go with the commission or go with the Word of God that has already been spoken to you. And if there's any other side ministry or if there's any other specific ministry, it will be revealed as we're following the general will of God. When we're following the general will of God as made very clear in Scripture, then specific ministry or the specific will of God will be revealed or made known. Does that make sense? So he's going to give his son in the faith here. He's going to tell him what he needs to do. And this is what he leaves with him because he said, this is where I want your focus to be. These other things are going to happen. Just like Jesus said. Jesus said, these things are going to happen. The temple's going to be destroyed. These things are going to happen in the earth. These things are going to happen with Israel. These things are going to happen in the church. But what was their focus? Stay with what you've been told. He that endures to the end, Matthew chapter 24, was it verse 13? He who endures to the end shall be saved. Hold on to what you got in Jesus. Don't let it go. You don't let it go. Well, what does it mean, Pastor, to endure till the end? Jesus Christ is my Lord, and that's a confession of my life till my last breath. He's in charge, and I'm under his charge. Okay, that's where I'm staying. I'm not leaving. If push comes to shove, if things happen to me, Jesus, you've got me. Says you're Lord of all. It says in Revelation 1, what, verse 8, you are almighty. I'm in your charge. You live that way till your last breath. Amen? And then you apply verse 14. What does verse 14 say of Matthew chapter 24? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations as a witness. Then the end will come. As a witness. Number one, what can we say as a witness? It says it's going to be preached in all nations, but it says as a witness. Don't you believe that when the gospel is preached, there should be results? That if the gospel is preached, lives should be saved? Do you believe that? How about some other kingdom of God manifestation? We should expect some healing? Shouldn't we expect deliverances? If a person's bound by a demon, cannot that person get set free of that demon? Out in the name of Jesus! What right do you have to mess with that child of God? Or that person that's going to become a child of God? We have to exercise our authority in Jesus. Well, what happens if nothing occurs? Do it again! The first time I tried casting out a demon, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. The thing threw me all over the joint. I didn't know what I was doing. I got thrown out of the car. I jumped back in on top of the guy like I wasn't supposed to do. But I learned. Instead of, you know, here's this guy with a big old knife cutting up the upholstery of a car. It's like, man, I'm going to practice casting out devils right now. I'm going to go in there and cast the devil out of that person. You kind of look like it was a huge hunting knife. I was like, well, I believe I'm doing the will of God, so I jumped on him. But I don't remember Jesus jumping on anybody. Oh, you know, you can sometimes just wonder, you know, Father God and Jesus, like, look at that guy right there right now. He's really trying hard. You know, angel, you need to go down and protect him a little bit there. That guy's, you know, he's moving that knife pretty big there. He'll learn, he'll get it. Wouldn't you like to try? Instead of, oh, I don't know, what if nothing happens? Well, then nothing happens. But it doesn't mean the next opportunity comes, I'm not going to listen more clearly and try it again. I'm going to apply what the Word of God has to say. Amen? And expect God to bring His results in. Okay? We have to. It says it will be as a witness to all nations. Jesus said in Matthew, actually it's Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. There's a testifying witness and there's a manifestation of that witness. I love sharing Jesus with people. How about you? I want people to come to Jesus though. I know that's God's responsibility. I'm supposed to be the mouth. But oh, isn't it nice when somebody comes to know Jesus and you were the vessel that was used? That is just so exciting. So exciting. And we should be in a place because Paul is going to talk to Timothy about that also. So he tells him that he needs to continue in the scriptures here. He says, continue in the scriptures. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, and knowing from whom you have learned them. Ooh. Are there things that you've been taught as a believer in Jesus? Are you still strong in it, though? Sometimes what happens is that we learn certain things and they, like, slip away. We're not as fervent in that teaching or that understanding of Scripture that we once were. And he says we need to continue in those things. We need to be, you know what, aren't we creatures of habit? Don't we sometimes forget things? We need to be reminded. Our mind is continually being bombarded by the world, is it not? I mean, the other day I was watching the TV, and I was like, wait a second, 1001, 1002, 1000, I'm counting how long the spot was. It was only a 15-second spot. 15-second commercial spot. You know, somebody selling their car, you know, the huge guy, you know. But he knows that 15-second spot sells cars. And he knows how to get on there and say it to get your attention that it sells cars. And just that 50, what about that 30-second spot at the football games? What's a football game at the end of the year? What's the last one called? Super Bowl, okay. You can see how much I watch. What, $7 million for 30 seconds? $7 million for 30 seconds. Why? Because it works. It works. So if a 30-second spot can get people's attention to get them emotional, I mean, here's a beer commercial making people cry. You know, they got these, you know, emotional appeals to people's flesh. If that can impact you for 30 seconds, just think of all these impacts that are happening to us all throughout the day, all the time, whether it be from the outside or sometimes from our own unrenewed mind. We need to remind ourselves what we've been taught. We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to go back to sound doctrine. We need to go back to the truths that have been affirmed within our life and continually reminding ourselves of these truths. Amen? Because there's going to be things that are always going to try to come against it. You're going to be pressured. How many of you ever stood for healing? How many of you ever believed God for healing? Okay? And you've believed God for healing. And sometimes it hasn't always worked out the way that you thought it was. And so then every now and then, oh, they got healed and I didn't. And then all of a sudden we start rationalizing with our mind why someone got it and we didn't, or what's taken so long for ours. And at times these things go on. Or I went up for prayer for this. And let's say you talk about something you came up for prayer for, and I was set free from something, and I was really great for 2 weeks. Then, see, a lot of times we keep quiet about these things. We don't vocalize them, because what will Scott think if I talked about any doubt that I might have about one of God's promises? How will people look at me in church? We need to get more real, folks. If we're struggling, get prayer. Have somebody agree with you in prayer. Have somebody help you with that scripture too. This morning in intercessory prayer, it was Exodus 17. When the Lord told Moses to send Joshua out with some men and go attack Amalek. And Moses went up on a hill, and it says as long as Moses had his hands up, Joshua prevailed. But the moment his hands got tired and started going down, Amalek prevailed. But there were two people that went with Moses, an Aaron and a Hur. And they saw what was happening, and they put a stone underneath Moses for him to sit on. Well, I'm also reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about a stone that followed them that was Christ. And so we have to also have an understanding that we can't do things in our own strength. We've got to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have to realize that God has given us brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that you can look at it as a way of intercession, or people that come along and support, or people that come along and build you up. There are times where don't you get weak? But if you just keep it to yourself, your arms are going to get heavy. Your spiritual walk at times can get heavy because you're just wanting to keep it to yourself, because I just can't let anybody know I'm a little bit weak right now. And I'm not winning. That's a form of pride, everyone. As Eleanor just said, get prayer. Hey, I'm having a difficult time right now. I believe that God showed me this scripture. I believe that God said that I was going to have victory, but it almost seems like it's going the other way right now. You need an Aaron and a Hur to come alongside. You need someone to help lift up those arms and say, wait a second, you know, you heard that word that God told you. Did God not tell you that word? Well, yes, he did. Well, then bless God, you believe it. You have that person come on and build you up in that area. Two's better than one. If you have two and one falls, there's one. Let's get scriptural. One will be there to help you up. But if you're just laying there, help, I'm falling, I can't get up. That's what sometimes we sound like spiritually. Right? Because we still have pride. The wrong kind of pride. Because we don't ask for prayer. Yesterday, Christine and I spent, most of you know, John and Pat Gilby, part of this ministry since the 80s, and now they've been working with Accelerated Christian Education Ministries up in Nashville, Tennessee. They came down for the Thanksgiving holiday to spend time with Pat's parents. And so we went out, had lunch with John and Pat yesterday, and it was just so refreshing that we're at a restaurant and 3 hours go by. Just sharing back and forth just the things of the Lord. It's just nice to bounce something off and to bounce something off and to bounce something off and to bounce something off. And just at the end of 3 hours, you're like, whoo, man, wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that great? We should have more times like that with one another. It was wonderful because I hadn't seen him the last time they're here was last Thanksgiving. Came over and took that picture. There was that selfie remember that picture that he took of you, Pastor Bill, John and Pat. And we put it on the memorial video when Pastor Bill passed. I just thought it was so neat that they're able to come and have that time with the both of you last year before Pastor Bill went on home to be with Jesus. It's just absolutely beautiful. And so, you know, God wants to bring people along. And I was sharing with John. I've had some dark times. I've been in some dark places in the past 3 months. And some people say, well, as a pastor, you shouldn't share those kind of things. You shouldn't hear about some dark times that you had. Most of you know that July 26th at 12:46 a.m. that my son entered into eternity at 38 years old. And it was a very difficult time. And John and I were talking about the grace of God yesterday. The grace of God. And he says, Mark, you know that definition of what grace is? You know, when you look it up in the Strong's and in the lexicon? I said, yeah, God's divine influence upon the heart. God's divine influence upon the heart. I said, John, let me tell you how that's been working in my life. Because at times I go through a time of grieving and I'm missing my son. And then all of a sudden, grace comes. or God's divine influence comes upon my heart and says, you need to let that go. You know everything that has occurred. You know where he's at right now. Yes, you miss him, but this is the way that I want you to begin looking at this. God's grace comes, but it's up to me to yield to the grace of God. His influence at that moment, it's up to me to yield to that influence and go God's way instead of the way my feelings or emotions want to go. And immediately when you choose God's way, there's a joy that comes in with the tears. And see, that's what God does. And he's always there. He's always faithful. So no matter what it is that you might be dealing with, look and expect God's influence upon your heart and make sure that when you sense, well, wait a second here. If let's say you're struggling with some kind of a feeling and some or some kind of emotion that you know that it's improper. I guarantee you, Holy Spirit's there. Sometimes it's real quick. Sometimes, like I told you, with me with the Lord, it's like It's that moment like, thank you, Lord. And sometimes it's all you need to just change, to drop that one air, that one thought, that one feeling, that one desire, and say, no. And you begin going God's way. That's all it takes, folks. It's not hard. But certain things are entrenched within us that we feel that we can't be set free of something because I've done this for so long and it's a thought process. But I am here to tell you every thought that is not of God is what? It can be uprooted or it's all transformable. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? And so he's giving him some instructions here. That, yes, these things are going to happen. These things are going to go on in the world. We can read the headlines. We can see the horrific things. I mean, what's the death toll up in Paradise, California now? 84, 85? 475 people still missing? You know, it's horrible. And they say these things are escalating in the United States. Now, we can go ahead and get our minds focused on that, but are we part of a relief effort? Are we part of anything that's helping out? Are we part of intercessory prayer? Or has God placed something upon your heart to send some money to an organization that is helping these people so they don't have to live in a tent? Could be a hurricane here. Would we want help? You see what I'm saying? It's one thing to send prayers, but are we also willing to be feet to those prayers? Are we also willing to be financed to those prayers? If God tells you. See, that's the whole key there. If God speaks to your heart to do something about it. Amen? And so Paul is wanting us here, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 3 that we are living epistles of Christ. That in other words, when someone comes to my life, there should be something of Jesus that they can read from. You know, my life should be emulating Jesus Christ in certain areas, if not all areas. Okay? I don't say all areas because none of us are there, but we're all getting to it, right? And look what he goes and says here in verse 15. Thank you, Mr. Spiros. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, the Holy Scriptures or the Word of God is able, or it has the power to make you or produce God's wisdom of salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that God's Word can speak to you? Do you believe that God's Word can work in you? Do you believe that everything that God's Word says, especially His promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says all the promises are what? Forget it. No way, Jose. Is that what it says? All the promises of God are what? Yes. Yes. What is not included in all the promises? Now, that's where doubt comes in. Some of you may have grabbed hold of a promise. And it didn't come to pass. And so in some people's minds here, we have our own version of the Word of God. Most of the promises of God's Word are yes and amen, according to John Doe version of the Bible. Is all? So is the problem with God, or is there something we can change and learn? See, I've come to a place in my walk with God, there is no problem with God. For with God, all things are possible. That the problem is that I need to continue, as Paul is telling Timothy here to continue in the scriptures, which are able to produce the wisdom of God of the salvation that Jesus Christ has secured to make it a living reality within your life. But we have to continue to stay with it. How many times did you hear the gospel before you said yes to Jesus? How many times did you need to hear something before you finally got the revelation or the understanding? See, God wants to get us to a place of coming to an understanding or the truth of Scripture that becomes a personal reality, then the fruit or the truth of it will follow, or the freedom will follow. But are we willing to stay with it long enough until we have the results of what it says? Once again, it got a little bit quiet here. I say the answer is yes. We continue with it until we see the results. Amen? Just because how many of you know my dad died at 85 years old? Okay? He died at 85 years old, backslidden Christian from his youth. He felt he had a call on his life. He went to a spirit-filled church, Amy Simple McPherson's church out in California. He went to Agnes Temple? Whatever the temple is that was built there. This lady that started the Foursquare denomination, and my dad had a wonderful salvation and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. He felt he had a call of God on his life. It wasn't until about 14 or 15 he just completely backslid. I never grew up with anything. I didn't grow up with God, okay? Grew up with nothing. Matter of fact, when the Life magazine came, remember the Life magazine? They had that one fold out, and it showed, you know, it showed the squirmy thing inside the swamp and how it all developed and then to the monkeys and to the man and how the man stood up. And they go, this is where we came from. My dad that had a call on his life to be an evangelist. Because of the horrific tragedies that his life experienced at a young age, he didn't think that there could be a God because of everything that he had experienced in life. The depression and all the things that happened in life. And at 85 years, now from that time, I've come to know Jesus. And he's seen my life in Jesus Christ. And I've been witnessing to him. Well, that's good for you, Mark. That's good for you, Mark. That's good for you, Mark. But I'm believing that my prayers and all the times that I've shared the Word of God, and when he came here, you shared the Word of God with him. And all those, I'm believing that the Word of God does not return void, but it's going to accomplish what God has sent it forth to do. And I'm standing on that Word. I'm standing on that seed that it's going to produce. 2 months before he dies, I go visit him in Puerto Rico. And I said, I'm here for 1 week. I prayed and fasted. I'm here for 1 week, Dad. And this week, God is going to heal your broken heart. And he looked at me with the most skeptic look on his face, a scowl. What the hell does that mean? And I said, you're going to find out this week. And every tragic event, I went over, boom, ba-boom, 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 and it brought him to the foot of the cross. It opened up his heart, and it just brought in healing. He accepted Jesus Christ, and 2 months later, he went home to be with Jesus. See, we have to realize, don't give up. You may not see the results. It may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years, it may be decades that you're believing for someone. Don't give up. Amen? Whether it be upwards to your parents or downwards to your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or this way out to neighbors and co-workers and other relatives, continue to believe God. Be that fruitful source of ministry and implanting the Word of God. No matter what you see their reaction, let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit said He would do. He'd bring the conviction in their heart. You be the planter of God's Word. Amen? And so we're in this time right now where the enemy has tried to infiltrate so much of the church with this false doctrine. And he's saying here, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. And he says, this will be the result of you staying in the Word in verse 17. That the man of God, and that's the word in the Greek, homo sapien, which is person. That the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't you want to be available anytime that God wants you available? Don't you want to grow to such a place that when the Holy Spirit says, this person's ready. Or you all of a sudden, you know, like at times when we go out to eat, I like to leave it, like you always know, I don't ever leave 15%. It's all usually 20% above. That's just the way I like to. I don't care what the service is. That's just what God told me to do a long time ago. But other times, there's times I do double that. Because I believe that God speaks to my heart to do it. I have no idea what that person's facing. I have no idea what that waitress is going through or that waiter's going through. I have no idea.
God does. And so if you're a lousy meal and the food's cold and they drop something on your lap, well, I'm not going to give them any money. Matter of fact, I'm going to put down 2%. I'll just leave a dollar. Christ-like? Christ-like? Sometimes we feel we have the right to do that. I have the right to be a blessing of God, no matter how I've been treated. Aren't we told that in scriptures? No matter how we're treated, we're to manifest the likeness of Jesus Christ. One of the biggest ways you can find out is when you have bad service and the food comes out cold and it's not cooked the way that you want it, are you still able to have a smile on it? It doesn't mean you can't send it back to the kitchen and have things redone. It's the attitude. He told Timothy to be an example in all things. He told him to be an example in word. How are you going to communicate? See, we're just not talking church. We're here talking life right now. What's your motive? What is it that, okay, if I don't agree with something or something's not to my satisfaction, there's a way in which God wants you to communicate it or say it that reflects him, not your present flesh. Hello? Are we touching some things here today? And that's why we need to stay in the Word of God to understand, you know what? At times, I'm so unlike you, Jesus. But that's not where I'm staying. So I need to look in the mirror of God's Word. The mirror shows me Jesus. And the mirror also shows me Mark Smith. Like, oh my goodness gracious, we got some work to do here, God. Let's go for it. See, that's the attitude it should be. Right? Okay. We know these things are going to happen. Persecution is going to happen. We know that imposters they're in the church today. They're twisting everything that you can think of, they're twisting. They're actually getting rid of the Bible in some places. No devil, just the feeling of evil in the world. No hell, just what we're experiencing here on this earth. Almost sounds like an old Beatles song. No heaven, no hell. I mean, just it's like the church has become worldly in some places. Wow. Does that mean this is not the truth, though? See, that's why he says you have to keep it before you to understand the real or the genuine. Because when Jesus comes the next time, chapter 4, verse 1, please, guy. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Jesus comes the next time, is he going to come as Savior? Or is he going to come as Lord and Judge? He's already done the saving part. Now he's going to come to redeem us. We're going to experience a culmination of our salvation, which we refer to as the rapture of the church or the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just. We are going to be caught up to him first. But it says here, I charge you, and he's writing to Timothy now, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord, Jesus Christ, who shall what? Judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. So we have an understanding there's going to be an accounting of our life before Jesus. We're going to give an account of my life. I'm going to give an account. I'm not going to give an account for salvation. Jesus Christ has already done that. I'm going to give an account of my life since I've been a Christian, how I've lived, how I've conducted myself. And that's why I said you need to keep short accounts. You need to keep short accounts. You need to apply 1 John 1:9 as often as needed. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, I don't want you going around with the thought that is permeating the church right now. Jesus died for my sins of the past. He died for my sins of the present and my sins of the future. Therefore, I don't have to acknowledge any sin anymore in my life because it's already been done away with in Jesus. Then why did John write what John wrote then? Why did John write 1 John 1:9 if there wasn't a personal responsibility that we still have before God to confess it? Okay, because John is not Paul, and people that are Paulinian Christians stay away from John, they stay away from Peter, they stay away from James, they stay away from the book of Revelation because they don't agree that they received the full revelation like Paul did. See, it sounds good, but it's a twisting of Scripture. All the Scripture works together. All of it goes together beautifully. What is confessing sin? Here's God's standard. I blew it. I missed it. It's made known to me by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father God, please forgive me of this. Okay, sincerely. And at times, you know, you don't ever get convicted. What are you supposed to do when the conviction comes? Just dismiss it? It's there for a reason. If the Holy Spirit's convicting the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness, does not the Holy Spirit still bring conviction in us? Because there's still, you can take the children of Israel out of Egypt, but you didn't take all the Egypt out of the children of Israel. And we get saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? We know by faith that everything has been crucified in Christ, and everything that Jesus Christ has secured for us is what? Is our possession. But there's still portions of your mind and of your feelings and of your emotions that sometimes go back to things. You know, Lord God, that's not of you. That's not of you, Jesus. And I don't want that any more of a manifestation in my life, because the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says this. That's my inheritance. That's my part of the new creation. That is what you have secured for me. That is where I live from now. Please forgive me of this. Do any of you have a problem with asking God to forgive you of something? Oh, wait a second. If that's true, honey, Jesus died for all my past sins and all my present ones and my present ones. I don't ever have to say I'm sorry to you ever again. I don't need to go make reconciliation to any of you. Well, if I go to Karen today and I say something nasty or derogatory to her, and I just cut her down and just let my flesh go and just rip my sister apart. Oh, Jesus, I'm thanking that you died for that. I don't have to say a word to her about it. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But if we're willing to make amends with people, get it right with people, and we don't have to do it with God? You see how they take and twist the scriptures now? Did Jesus die for my sins past, my sins present, my sins future? Yes, they're all done away with. And as I was talking to one person as they brought this subject up to me, then I said, why doesn't Jesus just go ahead and just blanket salvation to everybody since it's already done? Or do they have to come to the place of hearing? And after hearing, God provides the faith to believe, and they confess with their mouth. So what's the difference of confessing a belief within our mouth or confessing a sin with our mouth against God to get it cleansed and worked out? I guarantee you that all your thinking this week wasn't holy. Okay? Now, don't look there with puckered lips at me right now like you were whole. Oh, you did everything right this week. As one person once said, I shared this with you not too long ago. How many of you know when you're in the flesh? In other words, when you're not walking with God. How many of you know when you're not walking with God? Where were you before? In the Spirit. Most of us don't even realize. We try to figure out this walking in the Spirit. We're like, oh. Hello, sister. Hello, brother. Bless you. Oh. Instead of just living life. And we're living in Jesus Christ. And the deportment of my life and the attitude of my life and the way that I speak and the way that I communicate should reflect Jesus without me using a scripture every time. See, there's some people say that I got to use a scripture for everything, and they're always wanting to scripture this, and man, instead of living or being the Word of God, instead of giving the definition of love, are you able to be patient? Are you kind? Are you trustworthy? Are you able to believe all things, bear all things, hope all things, endure all things? Are you able to manifest that scripture without quoting that scripture? But if a person says there's something about your life that's different, then you share with them what the Word of God has to say, because this is what Jesus has done in my life, and this is what God's love looks like within my life. Or go to Galatians chapter 5 and it talks about the attributes of love in 22 and 23. And then you're able to share because your life is living it. I should say living him. Living him. Amen? So he's saying this because there's going to be a problem. There's a problem in the world. There's going to be a problem in the church. And we're at that day here in verse 3 where it says they will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. There's some place that don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about repentance. They don't want to hear about eternal judgments. They don't want to hear about prophecy. They don't want to hear any more about that stuff. Scripture. That's what it is. It's scripture. Now, can there be people overbalanced and, you know, off balance? Yes. Anybody can get off balance. But Paul said that we need to have the whole counsel of God's word. But there are going to be people that are going to just focus on certain things to the neglect of other things, and they're going to be lopsided Christians, off-balance Christians. And they're going to find themselves not wanting to hear. They like the milk, but they don't like the meat of the word. And so they're going to want to keep bottle feeding me. I don't want any of that tough stuff. I want all of God's stuff. How about you? What God wants me to have, you know, lay it on me, Lord. Ooh, some people say, you got to be careful what you're saying. He's a good, good father. So why would I be afraid of saying, Lord, whatever it is you need to teach me or whatever it is you want to walk me with, let's go, let's do this journey together, because I know you're with me and you won't leave me. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of God in the sense of that he's going to, you know, try to lead me down the road and stick his foot out and trip me or something. No, he's going to be there when I trip to pick me up. Whoa. Okay. I'm going to end with this. It says that it's coming to the point and that people are heaping up teachers for themselves. Do you hear what it says here? They're going to gather those that are teaching what they want to hear. And I guarantee you, there's enough teachers out there today that whatever a person wants to believe, whatever a person wants to hear, there's somebody out there for a person. I hope it's not any of you today. But there's a mound of them. They'll heap up these things. And well, see, this person's saying, and that person's saying, and they're saying this, and they're saying this. I said, true, they're saying that. But have you looked at this scripture, and this scripture, and this scripture, and this scripture? I bring back in the balance. And you know what that balance does? Because they're off balance, it kind of throws them for a little bit of a loop. And I said, you know what? I'm just sharing with you the clear reading of scripture. You need to go back and start understanding the clear reading of Scripture, its proper context, because it says it's going to work in us. It's going to produce what God said it would produce in us. I could come in here for the next 10 years and teach a bless you message every Sunday. We could be, woo, yeah! But if you don't get a word that works and you walk out that door, and get some teaching under your belt and understanding under your belt, you know, it'd be just like you walking out on US 19 a semi-cup. Boom! You're just going to get mowed over.
Well, you said that my life would always be blessed and wouldn't be run over like that.
See, some people are being taught things. They're scriptural truths. But they're off-balanced. And because they're off-balanced, people are being hit. You never told me about this. You never said I would face anything like this. But Paul went on to tell Timothy, no, you are going to face these things. Persecution is going to come. Imposters are going to enter into church. There is coming a time where church people are not going to want to hear sound doctrine that makes you whole and complete, sound whole and complete in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. It ministers to the whole person. And it brings us to that place where it says in, what's it, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that we would grow up into Jesus Christ in all things. Why? Because he's our head. You know, see, the Word of God tells us that in every area you can grow up to be like Jesus in. So let me ask you this before we close today. Is there an area this week that you have faced that you didn't face with Jesus? Has there been a difficulty or something that has come into your life this week and you just didn't have an answer for? What have you done? What have you done? It's quiet.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Well, sometimes in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Sometimes you just need to find a brother, sister in the Lord, somebody that's mature in the Lord, get a few of them together. This is what I'm facing. Can we just have a round table, Holy Spirit discussion? Because I need some answers. And get together with brothers and sisters. Get together with the Word of God. Ask God. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, what does it say in James chapter 1? Any of you lack wisdom this week? What's wisdom? I've got a situation, I don't know what to do. Wisdom is that God not just not gives you the knowledge, but gives you the steps to take to accomplish or fix it or correct it. What good is knowledge if it's not applicable? Wisdom is applicable knowledge. Knowledge of God, truth of God that you can put to use within your life. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And at times, I don't know what to do.
Pastor Mark doesn't know what to do.
Sometimes you come up from your ministry and you say, blah, 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 and I don't have the answer. I mean, I get the weirdest look sometimes. I'll seek God, though, for it. Let's ask God. Let's apply James chapter 1. Let's ask God for some wisdom right now. Let's ask God for his heart right now. Let's see if he'll prompt us by the Holy Spirit, maybe to give us a passage, a teaching. Or maybe, you know, it's really cool sometimes, somebody else will hear. You know, at times when we have ministry up here, somebody comes up, and you got all these other Christians that are coming up also. And sometimes people think that they're nosy. They're not nosy. They're wanting to help. You know, they're not coming in to learn your stuff and walk out of here, oh, guess what they went up for prayer for? They're here to learn. And it's really cool that here's a brother here or a sister here. Oh, I really felt that the Lord just put upon me to say this. Isn't that cool? It says every joint supplies. And we just got to looking at 1 Timothy, let no one despise your youth. You may not look like you know a lot, but when the Spirit of God speaks, let the Spirit of God speak. We have to be careful of always judging the vessel. That person might go off the wall 10 minutes from now, but at that moment that they're sharing something, thank the Lord for that sensitivity that they had, you know? And we have to be careful, do we not? We're to test every spirit. We're to examine what they're saying. We're to examine it in light of Scripture. We're to wait upon the Lord and take that information back with the Lord. Lord, is this a really a word from you that you have for my life? And I don't have a problem saying this also. Lord, can you give me another confirmation? I don't have a problem saying that. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I don't have a problem asking for a confirmation. How about you? God's faithful to give us a confirmation if you've got a little bit of a doubt about what's being said. Amen? Okay. But this is what I wanted to just end with today. I wanted us to drop down here to verse 4. We know that these things are taking place. We know the example that Paul gave to Timothy. We read in 1 Timothy what Paul said that his example should be to the believers about what is the church that's going to befall the church and what are the things that are going to befall the world. But he just said that you need to stay in the Holy Scriptures, which will make you wise for salvation. So that's the first thing that we do for anything that's going on, no matter how terrible things are going to get, we are going to look to the Word of God. Amen? But we're just not going to look to it. We're also going to be feet. Okay? And he goes on here and says this. But you, verse 5, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. So he's like saying, you're not going to get out of it without having to face some tough stuff. Didn't Jesus say that in the world you will what? Have what? Have tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. John 16:33. What does it go on to say? Come on, Bible scholars. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the same overcoming life that Jesus walked this earth is now living in you because you've received the gift of eternal life. And that's the same life that Jesus had when he walked this earth. And you've been given the gift of eternal life. So the very life that Jesus had when he walked on this earth, you now have. Matter of fact, the Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creation or a new creature. A new species. A new species of being that never existed before. That's why the Scripture calls you aliens. Pilgrims. Sojourners here. We're just passing through. But I tell you what, in my journey of passing through, I want to take as many people as I can. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, it says we're to be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and what's this last part here? Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. A lot of people are focusing on the last part and not focusing on the first part. They're wanting to know what their ministry is and they don't want to do the work of an evangelist. He didn't say to Timothy that he was an evangelist. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. If I'm saved, I am saved, and you're saved, then we can open up our mouth and share Jesus with someone. That's our first ministry. We're to be in the Word of God. We're to have that Word of God change and transform our life. And we're to be vessels of that Word, manifestations of that Word. And we're to be inviting people to become part of the family of God. And in so doing that, you will fulfill your ministry. If there's anything else that God wants to reveal to you, any specific ministry, a teaching ministry, something that God has for you, it will be revealed after you follow the general will of God. And so many people, oh, Lord, well, you know, am I going to be a prophet? Am I going to be an intercessor? Am I? Obey the revealed will of God and specific ministries will follow. What did we just read? Stay in the Word of God. Get taught what it says. Don't stop it. Start opening up your mouth and telling other people about this beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And even though all this stuff is going to start wrecking havoc and it's going to get worse and worse, our focus is not on the things that are going on in this world. Our focus is on the time is short, Jesus Christ is coming soon, and how can God use our life to minister to somebody else's life? The Roman Empire was crumbling. It was crumbling from within. The Caesars were becoming so corrupt. The entire government was becoming corrupt. What did Jesus focus on? The kingdom of God. What did Paul focus on? His ministry task. Not the crumbling empire. He focused on what God had told him to do. For this purpose I have appeared unto you, to make you a minister to both the Jews and to the Gentiles. That's what our task is, folks. Don't get so caught up on the headlines. Get caught up in what God has for your life. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to become like Him. He wants you to understand what Scripture teaches. And He wants you to be able to share Jesus very plainly and very clearly with somebody else. If you just start there, everything else will open up to you. Everything will open up to you. Can we all learn to open up our mouth and talk a little bit more to other people about Jesus? We all can. Amen? But what's one of the first testimonies going to be? The way that you live. And where's it first going to begin? In your home. Ouch. It shouldn't be an ouch, though. Right? It shouldn't be an ouch. Right? So, are there changes that can be made? Yes. Are you willing to make those changes? Yes. Both hands are up. Surrender. Just want more of you, Jesus. Just want more of you, Jesus. In the areas that I'm not like you, I thank you, Lord God, that your word says all things have passed away and all things are becoming new. I'm risen with you in Jesus Christ. Those things in my life have been already crucified in Christ Jesus, and you're making me like you in every area. I hope you have certain beliefs with inside your life that you know what the Scripture says, and your life moves. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy when you read like Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12. When you start getting those within your spirit, you start believing what they say and say, yes, this is what Jesus Christ has done. This is what God has for my life. And you find yourself in a place of believing it, your life will seek to fulfill it. Dare to believe God for everyone. Dare to believe God. Dare to believe His promises. Grab hold of them. I'd rather grab hold of something of God's word, I'd rather grab hold of a promise and fall flat on my face and say, and get back up. Let's go again, Jesus. Let's go again. Let's go again. I want to go out all the way. Amen? Instead of, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Well, so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they tried that. Didn't work for them, so I'm not even going to try. Oh, wait a second there. Wasn't there a parable about somebody burying their talent? Because they were afraid of when the master came back that they might do it wrong? I'm going to apply it and apply and apply and apply and apply. And then all of a sudden, something's going to click. Whoa! Hallelujah! It's like the man who prayed for 400 people. You know, the Lord told him to start laying hands on people. And nobody was getting healed. Can you imagine? Can I pray for you? Nothing happens. Can I pray for you? Nothing happens. Can I pray for you? The 400th, I don't know how he kept track. Yeah. Somewhere around the 400s, after the 400s, the first person gets healed. But he remained obedient to do what Jesus told him to do, regardless of the results. The results are up to God. Will we be obedient to do what God has told us to do, whether you don't see any immediate result, but you're going to follow and obey Him and do what He says? Amen? Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for these things you're teaching us. Lord, you're stirring me. You're stirring us. We live in a wonderful, exciting, and yet sometimes fearful time, but an exciting time. We know, Lord God, if we keep the proper perspective, if we keep the proper perspective of what your word says, what you left through the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, those faithful words that if we would just apply just that little bit right there to our lives,
just what he said in chapter 3 and that verse, that first part of chapter 4. Man, we will just be transformed like we have never seen transformation, and you'll use us like we've never been used before, Lord God. If we'll just dare to believe your word. Dare to do what it says, Lord God, and expect those results to take place. So we thank you, Father. If we've been negligent in any area, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord God. Lord, if there's been a promise that maybe some of us here today, we once held on to very strongly, and we just don't seem to want to read that one anymore. Lord God, bring us back. Bring us back to that place. If there's any place we've stumbled over a word or a teaching, Lord God, and we've allowed a doubt to try to creep within our thinking, like, no, I don't see how anybody could do that. That any of these doubts, Lord God, we just ask that they just be replaced with the truth of yourself. As that father said so many years ago, do you believe that I can do this? You said it to that father. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We're all believers here today, I believe, Lord God. I believe that we all have a present faith in Jesus, but there are certain areas that we're struggling in that we need your help in. And so we're asking for the clear teaching of your word in these specific areas. And whoever you are today, you just go ahead and say this right now. You just begin to trust God that whatever areas of difficulty that you may be facing, like you heard me say earlier, there may be some dark areas in your life that you don't even want to acknowledge. But I'm asking and I'm believing, God, that the same grace that saved you is the same divine influence of God that's upon you right now, wooing you to the direction that God wants you to go. There's an influence of God upon your heart now at this moment that he's speaking to you about. Don't think that there's dominance within your life. Whatever that area is, we may say darkness or evil or not of God, no matter, or an area of failure. Whatever that is, I'm here to tell you today from a 40-year journey with Jesus that God is greater. That with God, there's nothing impossible. That he has an answer, he has a solution, and he has a cure for everything that we face in life and everything that you're personally facing. So, Father, I just would ask that you just encourage that person right now in the name of Jesus with the truth of your word to edify them right now and to bring them to the place where they need to be, and so that their life just isn't able to speak about it, but their life actually models the word of God, actually models the nature and character of Jesus. And we're all saying, yeah, Lord God, we want more of that in our life. And so we just give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.